This is Doug Miller. Have you ever been falsely accused of something? How did you feel about that? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand, confident that the Lord, indeed, true to His Word, will bless this Word as it goes out, because that's what He does in grace, love, and mercy. So bring your Bibles. Come along if you want a blessing. Open up to the first chapter of Job, back in the Old Testament, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out as far out as we can get it, to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the prayers, the assistance, and support of those who are listening and who are interested in this message and in this broadcast. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to join anything. All you have to do is say, I believe this needs to be heard. Please pray for Dialogue. We cannot exist without your prayers. So write us down, pray for us, tell others about us. And, of course, we'd always love to hear from you. Always a blessing to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to be able to answer any questions that you have, to provide you with any materials that we can. Everything absolutely free of charge, no strings attached, no questions asked. If we've got it, you can get it if you need it. Within reason, of course. If you write and tell me you need $1 million, I'm going to write you back and tell you you'll have to look somewhere else. But please, let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you don't like to write letters, email us. That's okay. We'll answer emails. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries, and incidentally, that's D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you would like to pull down our webpage, that's dialogueministries.org. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And you can read about Dialogue and pull down our messages and listen to them and just have a good time, all free. If you want to call and talk to me, that'll work. That'll work, but it'll work slowly because we do not have a secretary there waiting to take your calls anytime, night and day, you know, 24/7. We don't have that. That would cost more money than we're going to put into it. But we do have a telephone number. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. Leave a message and I will get back to you in my own weak way. And in my own good time. May take a few days, but I will call you back. Okay, we broke off last time at the 7th chapter of Job. And we've been looking at this man. It's very interesting, this creature, this magnificent, marvelous man, Satan, who goes by many names and in many guises, And probably as far as created beings go, he probably represents the very height of God's creation as far as intelligent beings. He is intelligent, he is sophisticated and wise, and he is absolutely malignant and malicious and evil. And if you are listening to me and you're unsaved, you need to understand that he has got at his disposal a myriad of heavenly hosts who followed him into the rebellion, and they are out there doing everything they can to keep you from getting saved. Well, if you are saved, then they are doing everything they can, being led by this marvelous creature. They are doing everything they can to trip you up and cause you grief and cause you problems. Now, the word Satan, as I said last time, but here it comes again, means the adversary. He is the one that is against. He is against God. He has a malicious, malignant, deadly hatred for our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he probably feels has usurped his place. He probably thinks, and this is just a guess, but it's based on what I read in Scripture, he probably thinks that this is the place occupied by Christ Jesus, that is rightly his. He is the one who was created, and we saw it last time, the anointed cherub that covers what? That covers the throne, that protects the throne. He probably sees himself, probably, as still being in that position. And as such, you need to understand this. He has a tremendous hatred, if you are saved, for you. And probably sees you as violating the throne of God. And he is presented in Scripture as accusing the brethren night and day. He is not only the adversary, he is the accuser. And his name in Greek is Diabolos. Diabolos. We get the word diabolic from it. It is a word that means to accuse or to slander. He is the slanderer. Why is he accusing you if you are saved? He is accusing you because he does not understand what grace is. And he does not believe in grace. He does not believe in the efficacy of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything about salvation by grace through faith goes against the grain of this malignant, malicious creature. You need to understand this, because this whole idea of salvation by being good, by keeping the law, by keeping any kind of law, I do this, I do that. If I do this and I do that, then God owes me something. Let me tell you something, friend. God doesn't owe you anything except a one-way trip to hell. If you have ever sinned at all, that will land you in hell. The fact that you have sinned, if you've only sinned once, that will land you in hell. What does it take to get out of that? Can you get out of that terrible predicament by being good? Well, let's say you sinned once and then you're good the rest of the time. Friends, you're a sinner. That will put you in hell. How do you get out from under this terrible, dreadful condemnation, this terrible weight that is bearing you down? You get out from under it because Jesus died and paid the penalty for that. He went into condemnation, and he is the one who bore your awful load. You get out from under the terrible condemnation that is yours by simply, guess what? By simply trusting in Him and believing Him and coming to Him as Savior and Lord. And salvation is utterly and absolutely apart from works. It is by grace through faith. Now, the world doesn't believe that. And all of the religions of the world, whether we are talking Judaism or Islam or Buddhism or whatever the isms are, they are all telling people in one way or another that salvation is by doing something. I heard a preacher one time saying, you know, religion puts you at the bottom of the mountain and says start climbing. Christianity alone puts you on top of the mountain by grace through faith and says, now thank God for it. It is a gift. Now, understand, the devil doesn't believe any of that. The devil doesn't believe any of that. He does not understand grace. He does not understand a free gift. What he understands and what you can see from him over and over again is accusation, accusation, accusation. Now, we saw earlier when we were looking at the introduction to this book that Job was a man who believed in blood sacrifice. It wasn't just that he was perfect and God calls him perfect and a man who eschewed God who feared God and eschewed evil. It wasn't just that, but he believed in blood sacrifice. Now, when we see in verse 7, Satan coming before God, the Lord says, whence comest thou? And he said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. Well, going to and fro in the earth, walking down, to what end? To what end? I can tell you to what end. Looking for whom he may devour, says Peter. He's like a roaring lion walking about looking for whom he may devour. But there's something else here. Notice God's question to him then. Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil. Well, there you are. There you are, and this is God's assessment of Job. He's a God-fearing man. He avoids evil. And God didn't say this, but he might also have said he is a man who understands the blood sacrifice. He is a man who understands the death of the innocent victim to cover his sins. We have seen that already. Have you considered him? Now, the very question indicates that God understands very well what Satan's function is as Satan sees it. He is not just going around looking for whom he may devour. He is going around looking for whom he may accuse. Now, there is no reason for Satan to accuse unsaved people. They are lost and on their way to hell. But Satan has a hatred for you if you are saved, and believe me, he is accusing you by name before the throne. What is your answer to Satan? Well, I want to tell you something. You don't need to have an answer. Your answer is, if you want an answer, I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He also is there before the throne as my advocate. He is the one who over and over again says before the Father, when Satan says to the Father, did you see that sin? Did you see that sin? Did you see that one? The Lord Jesus can also say, I paid for every one of those. I paid for every one of those. Well, let's see what Satan's answer to God is. Well, says Satan to God, you've put a hedge about Job. You've put a hedge about him. You've blessed him on every hand. But he says here, if you put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. Now listen to me, friend, whoever you are. I want you to notice what Satan says here. And I want you to notice that we are going to see this again and again and again throughout the book of Job. We are not going to see Satan personally after the second chapter. That's the last time we personally see the acts of Satan. But we will see the attitude of Satan and his leading and his guiding many times through this book. I said to you early on, this is a book about grace. And if there is anything that Satan doesn't understand, it's grace. Grace is a gift. And if there is anything that many of you listening to me right now don't understand, it's grace. I don't have to ask, and I don't have to wonder. I have been around long enough to see a lot of people, and this idea of grace is something they don't understand. They don't understand salvation by grace. They don't understand God's keeping and maintaining and strengthening and by grace. They do not understand the love of God and the gift of God. And there are a lot of you listening to me right now who are absolutely convinced that if you want to be blessed by God, you're going to have to do something. God couldn't possibly give you salvation as a gift. Oh, God demands this, that, and the other. You don't understand grace, and for this reason, you are constantly accusing others and probably yourself, and as you do that, you are doing the work of Satan. Well, let's see what God says to Satan here. God says, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now notice what the Lord says to Satan here. He says, all that he has is in your hands. Just don't touch him in any way. You can touch what he has. You can take away what he has, but you cannot touch him. Notice the limit that God sets. And, of course, I'm sure some of you, if you've ever heard the book of Job taught, whoever taught it, I'm sure will have said, notice that God always puts limitations. This far, no farther. Satan can only do so much. Some of you out there right now, as believers, you may be suffering loss. I can assure you that God is well aware of your loss and of the pain you are going through. And I can also assure you that there is a limit to it. God has things that he wants to do with you and for you. Let me tell you what he wants to do with you and for you. I can tell you in general. I can't tell you the particulars of it, but I can sure tell you in general what it's all about. God, in general, is blessing you. He wants to bring you into greater blessing. He wants to teach you more and more about his blessed Son. He wants more and more to conform you to the image of his Son. This will no doubt take some difficult times. His own Son lived through trial and testing. So will you as a believer. The individual who tells you that as a believer, you should not have to suffer through any problems or pain or tribulation, and if you are suffering these things, it is because you have a lack of faith. The individual who tells you to that is lying to you, pure and simple, or is himself or herself ignorant and simply not aware of the greater truths of what he or she's talking about. I want to tell you something. Our Lord Jesus Christ went up the hill to Calvary. He suffered greatly. He suffered to glorify and honor his Father. He suffered in order to fulfill the words of the prophets and to fulfill Scripture. He suffered to save you. And he, having suffered, is now crowned with glory and honor, such as no being in eternity will ever have other than God himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through his suffering, has become the Redeemer, the Savior, the Blessed One who is high and holy and lifted up above all. But he went through suffering to get there. Friends, you want to be like Jesus? You're going to suffer some. Get ready for it. If you're not suffering, you will. If you have suffered, you will do it some more. But there is always a limitation on it. God knows exactly what He's doing, and He loves you. He knows when to put you into the heat. He knows when to take you out. He knows how much, and He knows how little. He knows exactly what He's doing. So if you are going through suffering right now, lift your head, look up, thank God. Know that it has a plan and a purpose, and it is for God's glory and honor, and listen, for your glory and honor too. So here we have God handing Job, this perfect, righteous man, over to Satan and saying, you can do this, but you can't go any farther. And out from the presence of God goes Satan. Well, what does he do? Let's take a look. And there was a day, verse 13, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Well, what a terrible, terrible day this was. And the immediate thing to ask is why? If you had never read the book of Job, if this were presented to you, your first question would probably be why? Why has God turned over this good and godly and righteous man to Satan? Why has Satan been allowed to do all of these things in one day, in one stroke, within just a matter of minutes, as we read this? Everything Job had of any value to him, it seems, was taken away, and he is empty-handed. Why? Why this evil upon this man? Well, there's a reason for it. God doesn't just do things for no reason. Now, of course, if you've ever read any of Job, or have seen any commentaries, you know that there have been many, many books written on this subject. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that we're going to get into that, and you're going to see it, and you are going to learn some things about this, and the answer is not what you might expect. We're not going to have time to get into it today. We will take this up, Lord willing, next time. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue,